frightened away from Gideon, needing them both to understand. I like sleeping next to him. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I watch him sleep. Sometimes I wake up and I don't even open my eyes. I just listen to him breathing. I can smell him, feel his warmth. I sleep better when he's beside me, and I know he sleeps better too.
Angel.
Gideon's hand stroked my back. Looking over my shoulder, I caught his gaze. His face was impassive. Gorgeous. His eyes, however, were dark blue pools of pain. I reached for his hand. I know it hurts you. I'm sorry. I just need us to work toward having that. I don't want us to ever give up on it.
What you describe, Dr. Peterson said gently, is intimacy, Ava. And it's one of the true joys of marriage. It's understandable that you crave it. Everyone does to some extent. For you and Gideon, however, it probably seems particularly important.
It does to me, I agreed.
Are you implying it's different for me?
Gideon said tightly. No. I twisted to face him. Please don't get defensive. This isn't your fault. I'm not blaming you.
Do you know how shitty this makes me feel?
He accused. I wish you wouldn't take it personally, Gideon. It's...
My wife wants to watch me sleep, and I can't even give her that.
He snapped.
What is that, if not fucking personal?
Okay,
let's discuss, Dr. Peterson said quickly, drawing our attention to him. The root of this conversation is a craving for intimate familiarity. Human beings by nature desire intimacy, but childhood sexual abuse survivors can find this need especially acute.
Gideon was still tense, but he was listening attentively.
In many cases,
the doctor continued,
the abuser works hard to isolate the victim to help conceal their crime and make the victim dependent. The victims themselves very often withdraw from friends and family. Everyone else's lives seem so ordinary and the troubles of others so insignificant next to the terrible secret they feel forced to hide.
I slid back into place against Gideon's side, pulling my knees up to hug him with the whole of my body. His arm came tight around me once more, his other hand reaching for mine. Dr. Peterson's face softened as he watched us.
That deep loneliness was alleviated when you both opened up to each other. But being starved of true intimacy for so long leaves a mark. I urge you to consider alternative ways to achieve the closeness you crave, Ava. Create signals and rituals that are unique to your relationship, that don't threaten either one of you and bring you both a sense of connection.
Sighing, I nodded.
We'll work on it, he said. And your nightmares, Gideon, are likely to continue to lessen in quantity and severity as we do. But this is just the beginning. We've taken some first steps in a long journey.
Tilting my head back, I looked up at Gideon. A lifetime, I vowed. Gideon touched my cheek with gentle fingers. He didn't say the words, but I saw them in his gaze, felt them in his caress. We had love. The rest would come.
10. I've been communicating with Benjamin Clancy, Raoul said, leaning forward with his elbows on his knees. You and Mrs. Cross will be heading toward the airport at the same time, so you can travel together if you like. Of course. I needed that time with Ava before we went our separate ways. The hours in the workday were too long to be away from her. A weekend was going to be torture. I'll call her and let her know we'll be picking her up. We'll need the limo. A professional to the core, Raoul showed no reaction. It would make more sense to use the limo for Ava's friends instead of us, but neither the Bentley nor the Benz offered the privacy I required. Sitting on the couch in my office, I faced both Angus and Raoul, who'd settled into the two club chairs. We decided that Angus should stay behind, while Raoul headed the security team accompanying me to Brazil. Angus would be heading to Austin to dig into the background of Lauren Kittry. Raoul nodded his understanding. We'll make separate transportation arrangements for her friends and yours. How is Ava getting to Ibiza? Private jet, he replied. Chartered by Richard Stanton. I suggested they stay at the Hotel Vientos Cruzados Ibiza, and Clancy agreed. It took some doing, as the resort is fully booked for the summer season, but the property manager was able to make it happen. They've stepped up security in anticipation of Mrs. Cross's arrival. Good. Having Ava stay in a Cross Industries resort gave me added peace of mind. We had two well-known nightclubs in Ibiza as well, one in Ibiza Town and one in Sant Antoni. I knew without asking that both had been pointed out to Clancy in advance. I expected he'd use the information. He was a smart man and would appreciate the added support provided by their security and staff. As we discussed previously, he went on, we'll have our own team in place at the airport, and they'll follow Mrs. Cross over the weekend. They've been instructed to stay in plain clothes and blend in, providing backup for Clancy's team and interceding only when absolutely necessary. I nodded. Clancy was good, but he had both Monica and Ava under his watch, and they considered Carrie family, so Clancy would be watching him closely too. His focus would be divided three ways, with Monica taking precedence as the wife of his employer. Ava wasn't the priority for anyone else that she was for me. I wanted dedicated eyes on her every moment she was out of the hotel. Thank God this weekend was a once-in-a-lifetime event. Raoul stood. I'll touch base with Clancy to discuss the protocol for getting to the airport. Thanks, Raoul. With a nod, he left. Angus rose to his feet. I'll be hying off to take Lucky to your sister. She's texting me every hour to see if I've left yet. That almost made me smile. Ireland had been excited when I asked if she would watch the dog for me. I figured Lucky would like that better than boarding, and Ireland could use a distraction from our mother's depression over the divorce. Angus paused on his way to the door. Have fun, lad. It'll do you good. I snorted. Call me if you find anything. Of course. He departed too, leaving me alone to finish up the work week. I noted the time on my phone before I speed dialed my wife.
Hi, Ace, she answered, her voice light and bright. Can't stop thinking about me, can you?
Tell me you were thinking about me.
Always.
I remembered her as she'd been last night, lying prone on the bed with her heels kicked up behind her. She had watched me pack with her chin propped on her hands, commenting occasionally on my choices. She'd noted that I didn't pack either the graphite gray slacks she fantasized about, or a black V-neck t-shirt. The deliberate omission was the one thing that made her smile. Otherwise, she had been mostly quiet and moody. You and I are going to ride to the airport together, I told her. Alone.
Oh. She let that sink in. That'll be nice.
I'm shooting for more than nice.
Oh.
Her voice lowered, took on the soft huskiness that told me her thoughts had turned to sex.
Got a little transportation fetish yourself?
Warm amusement slid through me, helping to ease the stress brought on by thinking of the days ahead. Ava would let me have her anywhere, but she frequently seduced me while we were en route to somewhere. Having previously been restricted to having sex only in the hotel, she'd rocked my world by inciting me to make love to her in cars and planes, as well as my home and various places of business. I would never say no to her. I wasn't capable of it. When she wanted me, I was ready and more than willing. I have an Ava fetish, I murmured,
turning around something she'd once said to me.
Good.
She took a breath.
Is the weekend over yet?
I heard Carrie say something I couldn't quite make out.
Soon, Angel. I'll let you go.
Don't ever let me go, Gideon.
There was a fervency to her words that moved me, betraying how unsettled she was by the weekend ahead. After the separation she'd enforced, it was good to know she wasn't looking forward to another, even under much happier circumstances.
I'll let you get back to it, I corrected, so you can be ready when Raoul comes for you.
Never mind him. I'll be ready to come for you,
she purred back, leaving me hard and aching as I ended the call. Arash entered my office shortly after 4, sauntering in with his hands in his pockets and humming a tune. He grinned as he sank into one of the chairs in front of my desk.
You ready for the weekend?
As ready as I'm going to be. I sat back and drummed my fingers on the armrests of my chair.
You'll be happy to hear that Ann Lucas's assault complaint is going away.
I'd expected as much, but it was still good to have confirmation.
As it should.
I haven't heard if she'll be charged with falsely reporting an incident. In the meantime, if she attempts contact with you, Ava, or Carrie in any way, I need to know immediately.
I nodded absently.
Of course.
He studied me.
Where's your head at right now?
My mouth twisted wryly.
I just got off the phone with one of the Vidal Records board members. Christopher is continuing to work on acquiring the capital for a buyout.
Arash's brows shot up.
If he pulls it together, would you consider getting out?
If I only had him to worry about, I would. Whether Ireland chose to join the family business in the future was still to be seen, but regardless, she had a stake in the success of the company, and Christopher made poor decisions. All of my offers to support him and offer guidance had been rejected. He often refused to listen to Chris as well, apparently assuming his father's wisdom came in some part from me.
What does the board think?
It's viewed as a family feud, and they want me to find a quick, painless resolution.
Is that possible? You've never gotten along with your brother.
I shook my head. It's a non-starter. I knew Arash couldn't understand. He had a brother and sister of his own, and his family was extremely tight-knit. He sighed.
Sorry, man. That's tough.
In an ideal world, Christopher would be attending my bachelor party weekend. We'd be close. He would be the best man at my wedding. Which was a position I hadn't yet asked anyone to fill. Arnaldo had taken the reins with the weekend planning, but I didn't know if he had done so because he assumed he'd be standing beside me at the wedding. Maybe he just had more initiative than the other guys. Only a few short weeks ago, it would have been a no-brainer to have Arnaldo stand with me. Part of me hoped that he still would. Arash was also a good choice. Unlike Arnaldo, I saw Arash nearly every day. And as my attorney, he knew things about me, and Ava, that no one else did. I could trust him with anything, even without the protection of attorney-client privilege. But Arnaldo was direct with me, in a way no one else was, aside from my wife. I'd long thought that Arnaldo's blunt, incisive advice had kept me from becoming too cynical and jaded. This weekend should make the choice between the two men clear. It felt wrong to stand outside Ava's apartment door and wait for her. As I leaned against the wall opposite the doorway, I considered how swiftly things had turned a corner, and how violently opposed I was to having them ever go back. I hadn't known it could be like this between us. Open. Nothing to hide. so deeply in love. There had been glimpses of this life before. Some of the nights we'd spent together in the apartment next door. The weekends we'd sneaked away to be alone together. But those times had existed in a vacuum. Now we lived those moments openly. It would be even better when the world knew we were married, and she lived completely in the penthouse with me. The door opened, and Ava stepped out, looking cool and sexy, in a sleeveless red wrap dress and heeled sandals. She had sunglasses perched atop her head, and was wheeling a suitcase out beside her. The next time she packed it, it would be for our honeymoon. We'd leave together, like we were doing now, but we would stay together from that moment forward. "Here," I said, straightening to take the suitcase from her. She tackled me as I reached for it, her body soft and warm against mine. She pulled my head down and kissed me, a quick, sweet kiss.
"You should have come in."
"You and me with a bed nearby?" I caught her around the waist and steered her toward the elevator. I would have taken advantage, if I didn't think Carrie would bang on the door and bitch about missing your flight. Ava separated from me as we descended to the lobby, reaching behind her to grab the handrail and showing off her sexy legs. It was a full-body flirt, with her eyes playing the game too. They sparkled at me as she licked her bottom lip.
"You look super sexy."
I glanced down at the white V-neck T-shirt and khakis I'd changed into before leaving work.
"You usually wear dark colors," she pointed out.
"Too hot for that where we're going."
"You're too hot."
She lifted one foot off the elevator floor and slowly rubbed her thighs together. Amused and feeling the slow heat of building arousal, I settled back and enjoyed the show. Once we'd reached the lobby, I gestured her out in front of me, catching up to her in two strides so I could place my hand at the small of her back. She tossed me a smile over her shoulder.
"There's going to be traffic."
"Damn." Traffic, and the time it would add to the commute, was what I was counting on.
"You sound so disappointed," she teased,
before smiling at the doorman who opened the door for her. Raoul waited outside by the limo. In moments we were on our way, merging into the sea of cars battling their way across Manhattan. Ava took the bench seat that spanned the length of the vehicle, while I settled on the seat in the back.
"Want a drink?"
she asked, looking at the bar across from her. "Do you?"
"I'm not sure."
Her lips pursed.
"I wanted one earlier."
I waited for her to make up her mind, my gaze sliding over her. She was my joy, the light in my world. I would do anything to keep her carefree and content for the rest of her life. It weighed on me to think I might have to hurt her. She'd been through so much already. If we found out that Monica was not who Ava thought she was at all, how would I break that news? My wife had been crushed when she realized her mother was tracking her via her mobile phone, her watch, and a compact mirror in her purse. A false identity was a much worse betrayal. And what did that fake identity hide?
"I can't find a dress,"
she said abruptly. Her lush mouth turned down in a frown. It took me a beat to snap out of my thoughts and register what she was saying. "For the wedding?" She nodded, looking so despondent I wanted to pull her close and press kisses all over her beautiful face. "Want me to help, Angel?"
"You can't. The groom isn't supposed to see the wedding dress before the big day."
Her eyes widened with shock and horror.
"You saw the dress I wore when we got married the first time."
"I had. I'd picked it out." "It was only a dress when I saw it," I soothed. It wasn't a wedding dress until you wore it.
Oh.
The smile came back. She peeled off her sandals and joined me, lying down with her head in my lap, her hair a silvery gold fan across my thighs. Running my fingers through the thick silk strands, I took a deep breath, relishing the smell of her perfume.
What are you going to wear?
She asked, her eyes closing. Are you picturing something in particular? Her mouth curved. Her answer came out slow and dreamy.
A tux. You're always gorgeous. But in a tuxedo, you're something else.
I brushed my fingertips over her lips. There had been times when I hated my face, hated that my looks attracted intense sexual interest, at a time when being lusted after made my skin crawl. Eventually, I got used to the attention, but not until Ava did I begin to value who I was for my own sake. She took so much pleasure in looking at me, clothed, unclothed, in the shower, wrapped up in a towel, on top of her, underneath her. About the only time her eyes weren't on me was when she was asleep, which was when I often took the most pleasure in looking at her, lusciously naked, wearing nothing but the jewelry I'd given her. A tux it is, then. Her eyes opened, revealing the soft gray I adored.
But it's a beach wedding.
I'll make it work.
Yes, I bet you can.
Turning her head, she nuzzled her nose against my cock. The heat of her breath drifted through the khakis to my sensitive skin. I hardened for her. I played with her hair. What do you want, Angel?
This.
She ran her fingers along the length of my erection. How do you want it? Her tongue darted out to wet her lips.
In my mouth,
she breathed, already freeing the button of my waistband. My eyes closed for a moment on a deep inhalation, the sound of my zipper lowering, the release of pressure as she carefully freed my cock. I steeled myself for the wet heat of her mouth, but it was pointless. I jerked hard when she pulled me in with easy suction, hunger and need tingling down my spine. I knew her moods and how they translated to sex. She planned to take her time, to enjoy me and drive me out of my mind.
Ava,
I groaned, as she stroked me with gentle fingers, her mouth working softly. She tongued the head of my dick with slow, savoring licks. Opening my eyes, I looked down at her. The sight of her, so perfectly presentable, her focus entirely on the feel of my cock in her mouth, was both searingly erotic and achingly tender.
God, that's good.
I said hoarsely, cupping the back of her head in one hand.
Take it deeper. Yes, like that.
My head fell back as my thighs tensed, straining with the need to thrust. I fought the urge, letting her take what she wanted. I won't finish like this, I warned her, knowing that was her goal. She hummed a protest and fisted me, pumping my cock in her soft, firm grip, challenging me to resist her. I'll be riding your perfect cunt, Ava. My cum is going to be deep inside you while you spend the weekend away from me. My eyes closed as I imagined her in Ibiza, a city famous for its wild nightlife, dancing with her friends in a crush of bodies. Men would covet her, dream of fucking her. all the while she'd be marked by me in the most primitive way possible. Possessed, even though I wasn't there. I felt her moan vibrate along the length of my dick. She pulled back, her lips already red and plump. "That's not fair," she pouted. I caught her wrist and lifted her hand to my chest, pressing it against my pounding heart. "You'll be right here, Angel. Always."
"Mano, you can't be working right now," Manuel complained, dropping into the lounger beside me. "You're missing the view."
I glanced up from my phone, the ocean breeze rifling through my hair. We'd remained in Barra today, directly across Avenida Lucio Costa from the hotel we were staying in. Recreo Beach was more laid back than Copacabana, less touristy and crowded. All along the shore, women in bikinis frolicked in the surf, breasts bouncing as they jumped waves, nearly bare asses glistening with tanning oil. On the white sand in front of them, Arash and Arnaldo continued tossing a frisbee back and forth. I'd bowed out when I felt my phone buzz in the pocket of my board shorts. I looked at Manuel, finding him flushed and glistening with sweat. He'd disappeared about an hour ago, and it was obvious why, even without knowing him as well as I did. "My view is better." I turned my phone to show him the selfie Ava had just sent me. She was lying out on the beach, too, stretched across a lounger not much different from the one I occupied. Her bikini was white, her skin already lightly tanned. A thin chain hooked around her neck, nestled between her plump tits, then wrapped around her trim waist. Sunglasses shielded her eyes, and bright red gloss stained the lips she'd puckered in a kiss. "Wish you were here," she'd texted. So did I. I was counting down the several hours remaining until we'd get on the plane home. Saturday had been enjoyable enough, a blur of alcohol and music. But Sunday was a day too long. Manuel whistled.
"Hot damn."
I grinned, as that about summed up my thoughts on my wife's photo.
"Don't you worry that things will change after you say I do?" he asked, leaning back with his hands tucked behind his head. "Wives don't look like that. They don't send selfies like that."
I exited out to the home screen and flipped my phone around again. Manuel's eyes widened at the wedding photo that served as my wallpaper.
"No way! When?"
"A month ago." He shook his head.
"I can't see it. Marriage, I mean, not you and Ava. How does it not get old?"
"Being happy never gets old."
"Isn't variety the spice of life or some shit?"
he asked, in some sort of half-assed philosophical mood.
"Part of the fun in fucking a woman is figuring out what makes her tick and being surprised when she shows you something new. You keep tagging it, doesn't it become routine? Touch her here, lick her there. Keep the rhythm she likes to get her off. Rinse and repeat."
"When your time comes, you'll figure it out." He shrugged.
"You want kids? Is that why?"
"Eventually. Not anytime soon." I couldn't even picture it. Ava would make a wonderful mother. She was a nurturer. But the two of us together as parents? One day I'd be ready for that. One day far away, when I could bear to share her with someone else. Right now, I just want her.
"Mr. Cross."
I looked up and saw Raoul standing behind me, his mouth in a tight line. I instantly stiffened, then sat up, my legs swinging off the side to plant my feet in the sand.
"What is it?"
Fear for Ava settled heavily in my gut. She'd just texted me moments before, but...
"You'll want to see this," he said grimly, drawing my attention to the tablet he carried.
Standing,
I shoved my phone in my pocket and closed the distance between us. I held out my hand. The glare from the sun darkened the screen, so I shifted to cast my shadow over the glass. The photo that came into focus froze the blood in my veins. The headline made my teeth grind. Gideon Cross's Wild Brazilian Bachelor Party. "What the fuck is this?" I snapped. Manuel slapped a hand on my shoulder as he came up beside me. "Looks like a good time, cabron, with two very hot babes." I looked at Raul. "Clancy sent that to me," he explained. "I ran a search and it's gone viral." Clancy. Fuck. Ava. Shoving the tablet at Raul, I yanked my phone back out. "I want to know who took that picture. Who knew I was in Brazil? Who'd followed me into a club one night, into a private VIP area, and taken pictures?" "Already on it." Cursing under my breath, I called my wife. Impatience and fury rode me hard as I waited for her to pick up. Her voicemail kicked in, and I hung up. Dialed again. Worry crowded in. The worst fears of her fantasies were captured in living color in that photo. I had to explain, even without knowing how. Sweat beaded my forehead and dampened my palms, but inside I was chilled. Her voicemail picked up a second time. "God damn it!" Hanging up, I dialed again.
11. "You look like you need a refill," Shauna said, setting down two rebujitos on the small table between our two loungers. "God," I laughed, slightly tipsy. The mix of dry sherry and sweet soda in the drink had a sneaky punch, and it wasn't exactly wise to chase away a hangover with more alcohol. "I'm going to need a detox after this weekend." She grinned and stretched back out, her freckled skin still pale and slightly pink after 2 days in the sun. Her red hair was piled atop her head in a sexy mess, her voice slightly hoarse from laughing so hard the night before. She'd donned a bright aqua blue bikini that drew many appreciative eyes her way. Shauna was a bright spot of color, with a ready smile and bawdy sense of humor. In that way, she was a lot like her brother, who I knew and loved as the fiancé of my former boss, Mark. Megumi walked up on my other side, carrying two more drinks. She looked at the empty lounger where my mom had been. "Where's Monica?" She went to cool off in the water. I looked for her but didn't see her. She was hard to miss in her lavender bikini, so I figured she'd wandered off somewhere. "She'll be back." She'd been with us the whole time, partying alongside us every step of the way. It wasn't her style to drink too much and stay up too late, but she seemed to be having fun. She was certainly causing a stir. Men of all ages flocked around her. There was a kittenish sensuality about my mother that was irresistible. I wished I had that. "Look at him go," Shauna said, drawing my attention to where Carrie played in the surf. "He's a total chick magnet." Oh, yeah. The beach was packed, so much so that it was hard to see the sand. Dozens of shoulders and heads bobbed amid the ocean waves, but it was easy to see the cluster around Carrie. He was flashing his grin, soaking up the attention like a cat in the sun. With his hair slicked back, the beauty of his gorgeous face was on display, despite the aviator shades he wore to block out the bright sun. Catching me watching him, he waved. I blew him a kiss, just to stir things up. "You and Carrie never got together," Shauna asked. "Did you ever want to?" I shook my head. Carrie was stunning now, healthy and leanly muscular, a prime example of the perfect male. But when I'd met him, he had been gaunt and hollow-eyed, always shrouded in hoodies even in the warmth of San Diego summers. He'd kept his arms covered to hide the evidence of his cutting, and wore the hood over his closely cropped head. In group therapy sessions, he'd always sat outside the circle and against a wall, his chair kicked back to balance on the rear legs. He commented rarely, but when he did, his humor was dark and laced with sarcasm, his insight almost always cynical. I had approached him once, unable to ignore the deep inner pain that radiated from him.
"Don't waste my time easing into it,"
he'd said smoothly, his beautiful green eyes devoid of any light at all.
"You want to ride my dick, just say so. I never say no to a fuck."
I knew that was true. Dr. Travis had a lot of messed-up patients, many of whom used sex as a salve or a form of self-punishment. Carrie was available to be used by all of them, and many walked through that open-door invitation frequently. "No thanks," I'd shot back, disgust triggered by his sexual aggression. "You're too skinny for me. Eat a fucking cheeseburger, dickhead." I regretted trying to be nice to him after that. He'd stalked me mercilessly, constantly putting me off with crass sexual come-ons. I'd been prickly at first. When that didn't work, I'd killed him with kindness. Eventually, he'd realized I really wasn't going to sleep with him. In the meantime, he started putting on weight. He let his hair start growing out. He stopped being the resident fuck, although he was simply more selective. I had noticed how gorgeous he was, but there was no attraction there. He was too much like me, and my self-preservation instincts had been on high alert. "We were friends," I told her. "Then he became like a brother to me." "I adore him," Megumi said, smoothing suntan lotion over her legs. "He told me that things are rough with him and Trey right now. I'm sorry to hear that. They're so great together." I nodded, my gaze going back to my dearest friend. Carrie was lifting a woman up by the waist to toss her into the waves. She came up sputtering and laughing, clearly smitten. It's lame to say that it'll work out if it's meant to, but that's what I'm going with. I still needed to call Trey. And Gideon's mom, Elizabeth. I wanted to touch base with Ireland, too, and Chris. Since I'd probably be wiped out from jet lag and too much alcohol, I made a mental note to fit in all those calls while I recovered at the penthouse. I had to touch base with my dad, too, since I'd put off our scheduled Saturday call due to the time difference between us. I don't want to go home. Megumi stretched out with a sigh, her drink in her hands. These 2 days went by too fast. I can't believe we're leaving in a few hours. I could easily stay another week if I weren't missing Gideon so much. "Ava, honey?" My head tilted at the sound of my mom's voice. She'd come up behind me and stood behind my lounger, wrapped in her cover-up. "Is it time to go already?" She shook her head. Then I noticed she was wringing her hands, never a good sign. "Can you come back to the hotel with me?" she asked. "I need to talk to you about something." I saw Clancy standing behind her, his jaw tight and hard. My pulse began to race. Standing, I grabbed the sarong I'd worn down to the beach and tied it around my waist. "Should we come?" Shauna asked, sitting up. "Stay here with Carrie," my mom replied, offering a reassuring smile. It amazed me how she did that, acting so cool and unruffled when I knew she was anxious. I was too expressive to hide my reactions, but my mom only showed emotion with her eyes and her hands, often saying that even laughter put lines on her face. Since she was wearing sunglasses, she was effectively camouflaged. Mutely, I followed her and Clancy back to the hotel. Once we reached the lobby, it seemed like every employee had to greet us with a smile or wave. They all knew who I was. After all, we were staying in one of Gideon's resorts. The name Vientos Cruzados meant crosswinds. Gideon had married me at a crosswinds resort. I hadn't realized they were a global chain. We stepped into an elevator and Clancy slid a key card into the necessary slot, a security measure that limited access to our floor. Since there were other people in the car with us, I still had to wait for answers. I felt sick to my stomach, my thoughts bouncing all over the place. Had something happened to Gideon? Or my dad? I realized I'd left my phone on the table by my drink and kicked myself. If I could only send a quick text to Gideon, I'd feel like I was doing something besides driving myself crazy. After 3 stops, the elevator car was empty except for us as we continued the climb to our floor. "What's going on?" I asked, turning to face both my mom and Clancy. She pulled her shades off with trembling fingers. "There's a scandal brewing," she began, "mostly online," which meant it was out of control, or about to be. "Mom, just tell me." She took a deep breath. "There are some pictures." She glanced at Clancy for help. "Of what?" I thought I might vomit. Had the pictures my stepbrother Nathan had taken gotten out somewhere? Or stills from the sex tape with Brett?
"Photos of Gideon Cross in Brazil went viral this morning," Clancy said.
He spoke neutrally, but there was something oddly stiff about his stance. So much tension was unusual for him. I felt as if I'd been punched in the gut. I didn't say anything more. There was nothing to say until I saw the evidence. We exited directly into our suite, a massive space with several bedrooms and a large central living area. The maids had opened the doors leading out to the wraparound balcony, and the sheer drapes fluttered in the breeze, escaping the ties meant to contain them. Bright with the color and warmth of Spain, the suite had delighted me the moment we arrived. I barely registered any of it now. I walked on shaky legs to the couch and waited for Clancy to key in his code on a tablet and pass it over to me. My mom took the seat beside me, silently offering her support. Looking down, I sucked in a quick, audible breath. My chest felt like it was being crushed in a vise. What I saw freaked me out. It was as if someone had crawled inside my head and captured one of the images in my mind. My gaze locked on Gideon, so dark and gorgeous, dressed entirely in black. The fall of his hair partially hid his face, but it was clearly my husband. I hoped it wouldn't be. Tried to find something that would betray the man in the photo as a fraud. But I knew Gideon's body as well as I knew my own. Knew how he moved, how he relaxed, how he seduced. I looked away from that beloved figure in the center of the obscene tableau, unable to bear it. A U-shaped sectional sofa, black velvet curtains, a half-dozen bottles of top-shelf liquor on a low table, a private VIP booth. A slender brunette reclined on a mound of throw pillows, the low V of her sequined top shoved aside. Gideon's body was partly over hers, his mouth sucked her nipple. A second leggy brunette, draped over his back, one thigh hooked over his, her legs spread, her mouth a wide O of pleasure. Gideon's arm reached behind him, his hand beneath her short skirt. It wasn't visible, but his fingers were inside her. I knew it. It was a sharp, jagged knife in my heart. The image blurred as I blinked the tears away, feeling them run hotly down my face. I scrolled, swiping the picture out of sight. Then I saw my name and scanned the writer's crude speculation as to what I would think about my fiancé's sexcapades as he said farewell to bachelorhood. I set the tablet on the coffee table, breathing hard. My mother scooted closer and put her arm around me, pulling me into her embrace. The room phone rang loudly, jolting me and abrading my nerves. "Shh," she whispered, her hand stroking over my hair. "I've got you, honey. I'm right here." Clancy went to the handset and answered with a brusque,
"Yes?"
Then his tone took on a chilly bite.
"I see you're having a good time."
"Gideon." I looked at Clancy and felt the heat rippling off him. He met my gaze.
"Yes, she's here."
I straightened away from my mother and managed to stand, fighting off a wave of nausea. I went to him and held out my hand for the phone. He gave the cordless handset to me and stepped back. I swallowed a sob.
"Hello?"
There was a pause. Gideon's breathing quickened.
I'd said one word, but from that he knew that I knew.
Angel.
Abruptly sick, I ran to the bathroom and dropped the phone, barely managing to lift the toilet seat before emptying the contents of my stomach in racking, violent heaves. My mother ran in, and I shook my head at her. "Go away," I gasped, sinking to the floor with my back against the wall. "Ava, I need a minute, Mom. Just give me a minute." She stared at me, then nodded, closing the door behind her. From the phone on the floor, I heard Gideon yelling. I reached for it, wrapping my hand around it and dragging it over. I lifted it to my ear.
"Ava, for God's sake, pick up the phone!"
"Stop shouting," I told him, my head pounding.
"Christ."
He took a ragged breath.
"You're sick. Damn it. I'm too far away."
His voice rose.
"Raoul! Where the fuck are you? I want the goddamn jet ready now. Get on the damn phone."
"No. No, don't."
"It happened before I met you."
He spoke too fast, was breathing too fast.
"I don't know when or what."
Someone spoke in the background.
"Cinco de Mayo? For fuck's sake! Why is this coming out now?"
"Gideon,
Ava, I swear to you that fucking picture wasn't taken this weekend. I would never do that to you. You know that. You know what you mean to me.
Gideon, calm down." My racing pulse began to slow. He was frantic, panicked. It broke my heart to hear it. He was so strong, capable of managing and surviving and crushing anything. I was his weakness, when all I wanted was to be his strength.
"You have to believe me, Ava. I would never do that to us. I would never..."
"I believe you.
Fuck around." "What?"
Closing my eyes, I let my head fall back to rest against the wall. My stomach began to settle. "I believe you." His shuddered exhale came hard and heavy across the line.
"God."
Silence. I knew how much it meant to him that I believed him utterly, about everything, anything. He couldn't help but find that nearly impossible to accept, even as he craved my trust more than I think he craved my love. To him, my belief in him was my love. His explanation was simple, some might say too simple, but knowing him the way I did, it was the one that made the most sense.
"I love you."
His voice was soft, weary.
"I love you so much, Ava. When you didn't answer your phone..."
"I love you, too."
"I'm sorry."
He made a small noise filled with pain and regret.
"So sorry you saw that. It's so fucked up. All of this is fucked up."
"You've seen worse." Gideon had seen me kiss Brett Klein right in front of him. He'd watched at least some of the sex tape that featured Brett and me. Compared to that, a photo was nothing.
"I hate that you're there and I'm here."
"Me too." I wanted the solace of his arms around me. More than that, I wanted to comfort him. To show him again that I wasn't going anywhere and he had no reason to fear.
"We're not doing this again."
"No. You're only getting married twice. Both times to me. No more bachelor parties for you." He huffed out a laugh.
"That's not what I meant."
"I know."
"Tell Clancy to bring you home now. We're packing up to head to the airport."
I shook my head, even though he couldn't see. "Take tomorrow off."
"Tomorrow?" "Yes." "You're sick."
"No. I'm fine. I'm coming to you. In Rio."
"What? No. I don't want to be here. I need to be home to sort this shit out."
"It's out in the wild, Gideon. Nothing you can do will change that."
I pulled myself up off the floor. You can hunt him, or her, down later. I'm not letting this ruin our memories of the weekend.
It doesn't.
If they want pictures of you in Brazil, Ace, I'm going to be in them. He took that in.
All right. I'll be waiting for you.
Maybe it's photoshopped, Megumi said. Or that guy is a lookalike, Shauna suggested, leaning close to Megumi to look at her tablet. You can't really see that much of him, Ava. No, I shook my head. It was what it was. That's definitely Gideon. Carrie, who sat beside me in the limo, took my hand in his and linked our fingers. My mom sat on the bench seat directly behind the driver, looking at fabric swatches. Her sleek legs were crossed, her foot tapping restlessly. Both Megumi and Shauna shot me pitying looks. Their sympathy chafed my pride. I'd made the mistake of looking at social media. It amazed me how cruel people could be. According to some, I was a woman scorned, or I was just too stupid not to realize I was marrying a man who would give me his name while giving his body and attention to anyone he chose. I was a gold digger, willing to put up with the humiliation for the money. I was a woman who could be a champion for all women if I turned my back on Gideon and found someone else. It's an old photo, I reiterated. In reality, May wasn't all that long ago, but no one needed to know exactly when, aside from the fact that the photo hadn't been taken while he was in a relationship with me. He'd changed so much since then, for me, for us. And I was no longer the woman he'd met that fateful day in June. It's ancient, Shauna said, decisively. Totally. Megumi nodded, but still looked dubious.
Why would he lie? I asked flatly.
It wouldn't take much work to find the club in the background. It has to be one of Gideon's. And I bet you it's in Manhattan. He couldn't be in New York and have a passport stamped in Brazil on the same day. It had taken me a couple of hours to figure that out, and I was kind of glad about that. I didn't need proof my husband was telling me the truth. But if we could somehow prove the photo was taken in a specific, identifiable location, it would be nice to set the public record straight.
Oh, right.
Megumi gave me a big smile. And he's crazy about you, Ava. He wouldn't mess around. I nodded my agreement, then pushed the subject aside. We would be at the airport soon, and I didn't want us to leave each other thinking about stupid gossip instead of the amazing trip we'd had. Thank you for coming. I had a great time. I would have loved to take them to Rio, too, but they didn't have the required visas to enter the country. Plus, they both had to work on Monday. So we'd part ways, with the girls heading home with Clancy's security team, while Carrie, my mom, and Clancy flew with me to Brazil on a jet Gideon had secured for us. It was going to be a quick trip. We'd arrive on Monday morning and leave Monday night. What sleep we managed to catch would be on the jet. But by the time I was done, Gideon would leave Brazil with a smile. I didn't want him looking back on the weekend with regret. He had enough bad memories. Moving forward, I wanted him to store up nothing but good ones. We should be thanking you, Shauna grinned. I wouldn't have missed this for the world.
I'm with Shauna, Megumi said. This was a trip of a lifetime.
Closing her eyes, Shauna leaned her head back against the seat.
Say hi to Arnaldo for me.
I knew Shauna and Arnaldo had become friends since they had been introduced the night we'd gone to the Sixth Nights concert. I think they felt safe with one another. Shauna was waiting for her boyfriend, Doug, to come home from Sicily, where he was attending an exclusive course for chefs. Arnaldo was nursing a broken heart. But he was a man who loved women and had likely appreciated being able to enjoy the companionship of one who expected nothing more. Carrie was dealing with something similar. He missed Trey and wasn't interested in screwing around, which was huge for him. Usually when he was hurting, he fucked to forget. Instead, he'd spent the weekend sticking close to Megumi, who looked like a deer in headlights when men approached her. Carrie had been her shield, keeping things light and fun for both of them. Gideon wasn't the only one who'd come a long way. As for me, I was dying to be with my husband. Stress brought on nightmares for him, so I pulled out my phone and texted him. Dream of me. His response was so perfectly Gideon, it brought a smile to my face. Fly faster. And just that quick, I knew he was back on his game.
Wow.
I stared out the window of the jet as it taxied to a halt at a private airport on the outskirts of Rio. Now that's a view. Standing on the tarmac were Gideon, Arnaldo, Manuel, and Arash, all dressed casually in long shorts and t-shirts, all dark-haired and tall, beautifully muscular, tanned. They were lined up like a row of exotic, outrageously expensive sports cars. Powerful, sexy, dangerously fast. I had no doubt about my husband's fidelity, but if there had been any, looking at him would have settled them. His friends were loose-limbed and relaxed, their engines cooled by long, hard rides. That they'd enjoyed Rio and its women was stamped all over them. Gideon, however, was taut, watchful. His motor was running, purring with the need to roar from 0 to 60 in the space of a pounding heartbeat. No one had given my man a test drive. I had come to him with the intent to soothe, to strategize, to take a bit of my wounded pride back. Instead, I was going to be the driver who burned his fuel. Yes, please. I felt a slight bump as the rolling staircase was positioned against the jet. Clancy exited first. My mom followed. I went after her, pausing at the top of the stairs to snap a picture with my phone. The image of Gideon and his friends was going to give the internet something else to talk about. I took the first step down and Gideon moved, his arms unfolding as he closed the distance between us. I couldn't see his eyes, only myself in the reflection of his lenses. But I felt the intensity with which he had me in his sights. It made my knees weak, forcing me to hold on to the handrail for balance. He shook Clancy's hand. He endured and even managed to reciprocate a brief hug from my mother. But he never took his eyes off me, or slowed more than a few seconds. I'd put on red fuck-me heels for him. Tight white shorts barely covered my ass and fastened well below my navel. My top was red lace with thin straps. A red satin ribbon secured the corset-like back. I had clipped my hair in a messy updo. Gideon made it messier when he caught me up on the last step and shoved his hands into it. His mouth sealed over mine, as if he hadn't noticed the red gloss I'd slicked on my lips. I was held suspended in his embrace, my feet off the ground, his arm banded tightly around my waist. Wrapping myself around him, I locked my ankles together at the small of his back, pushing up so that his head tilted back, and I curved around him, my tongue licking deep into his mouth. The hand he'd had in my hair slid down to cup and support me, his grip kneading my ass in the demanding, possessive way I loved.
"That's fucking hot,"
Carrie said from somewhere behind me. Manuel gave a piercing whistle. I couldn't care less what kind of spectacle we made. Gideon's hard body felt delicious, and the taste of him was intoxicating. My thoughts scattered. I wanted to ride him, rub up against him. I wanted him naked and sweaty, covered in my scent. On his face, his hands, his cock. My husband wasn't the only one who wanted to mark his territory. "Ava Lauren," my mother scolded, "get a hold of yourself." The sound of my mom's voice cooled us both off instantly. I unwound my legs from his hips and let him ease me down until I was standing again. I pulled away reluctantly, my hands briefly lifting Gideon's sunglasses so I could look into his eyes. Fury. Lust. I wiped the traces of my lip gloss off his mouth with my fingers. His lips were swollen from the passion of our kiss, the sensual curves softened. He cupped my face in his hands, his thumbs brushing over my lips. Urging my head back, he kissed the tip of my nose. He was tender now, his ferocious joy at seeing me tempered by having touched me. "Eva," Arnaldo said.